This podcast was first broadcast on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam. Go to radioverulam.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, as litter picking fever sweeps St Albans, I speak to Stefania Vinci, admin for St Albans Litter Picking Volunteers, to find out about Clean Up St Albans weekend. But before that, young people are back at school and many will be thinking about their futures at a time when the future is uncertain, both from an economic and an ecological point of view. So it's particularly timely that the organisation Speakers for Schools is running Green Skills Week from the 5th to the 19th of April. Now, if you've not heard of them, Speakers for Schools was founded in 2010 by ITV's political editor Robert Peston and supported by the Law Family Charitable Foundation with a mission to level the playing field for young people. It aims to end educational inequality by giving access to the same networks as the top fee-paying schools in the UK through inspirational talks and broadcasts, work placements, meaningful discounts and life-preparing opportunities. Now, during Green Skills Week, they hope to inform and inspire young people to consider their future in the green economy, giving them practical advice and opening doors to unconsidered futures. To find out more about this fantastic sounding project, I started by talking to Chief Marketing Officer of Speakers for Schools, Travers Lee. My first question to Travers was to ask him to explain a bit about Green Skills Week.
As you know, Amanda, young people have been disrupted by the pandemic with very little in-person teaching, work experience and career opportunities. And with the government kickstarting the green industrial revolution, the green economy is really set to boom. And so as an educational inequality charity, Speakers for Schools is launching Green Skills Week in April the 5th to the 9th to introduce young people to future careers in the green industry. So we're teaming up with Britain's most environmentally focused employers to tackle the unemployment crisis and future-proof the next generation in a post-COVID economy.
Okay, sounds great. So why have you decided to schedule this now?
Yeah, well, although Speakers for Schools, our work connects young people to sustainable sector jobs all year round, I mean, there's no time to waste in saving our planet. So Green Skills Week allows us to bring together educators, businesses, and policymakers to shine a light on the importance of the green economy for our future workforce. So it is our younger generation who will need to reach net zero by 2050. So it's vital that we equip them with the right knowledge and skills now.
Indeed. So can you just give us a little bit of a flavour for the kind of jobs that Speakers for Schools will be showcasing during Green Skills Week?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there'll be a full range, but you know, some examples can be marketing for large-scale recycling projects, carbon zero engineering in the energy sector, to developing green infrastructure for local government.
And do you think that young people are keen to do something to help the environment? Do you think actually if they're alerted to these opportunities that they will like to chip in to, as you say, do what they can to save the planet?
You know, I think that with young people, you know, they're very passionate about climate change. And, you know, with the certain sectors such as leisure, hospitality and retail impacted by the pandemic, you know, young people are looking at what sectors represent a safe bet for their future. So, you know, climate change is our world's most present danger, and young people are on the front line to solve it by 2050. So it's a long-term problem with long-term career opportunities, which young people need to learn about now. So with Green Skills Week, we're offering 5,000 work experience placements to young people with employers like Man Group, Anglian Water, Sky, National Grid and Govia, as well as a range of inspirational talks and workshops.
Okay. And do you think that jobs in the green economy should perhaps have a slightly higher profile in schools with their careers department?
Yeah, sure. I mean, green jobs are a fairly new concept, and sometimes there's a lack of understanding about the green economy. So, I mean, not necessarily in schools or colleges, but across all parts of society. So Green Skills Week will work with educators and employers to provide additional resources to help young people access great careers in the green economy.
Travis, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you very much.
I was talking there to Travis Lee from Speakers for Schools. Now, one of the companies that's going to be helping Speakers for Schools with Green Skills Week is Govia Thameslink Railway. So next, I spoke to Patrick Clements, Head of Safety and Environment from Govia Thameslink, and I started by asking Patrick what Govia will be doing during Green Skills Week.
Yeah, so at Govia Thameslink Railway, we've been given the opportunity to spend a couple of hours, the environment team here, talking to young people about the work that we do in the environmental sphere in the rail industry, the broad diversity of topics and subjects that that covers, and an opportunity to hopefully inspire some of these young people to consider working in industry, but particularly for us, the rail industry, regarding environmental jobs of the future.
And do you think that perhaps this area is sometimes overlooked? Do you think perhaps that that your company, the area that it works in, is sometimes overlooked by young people?
Yeah, so I think there's obviously a lot of passion and enthusiasm amongst the younger generation for environmental topics. But I think it's really important to highlight the fact that there's a real opportunity to make a difference very much in an industrial setting or a commercial setting, as well as all the good schemes that are actively pursuing other environmental projects around the country and the world.
Okay, so can you just give us a little taste for the kind of green skills jobs that GTR has to offer?
Yeah, so we have a dedicated environmental team who kind of work across the full range of all the environmental topics that we have to address as an industry, which is actually pretty broad. I mean, so we will look right along the lines from decarbonisation projects to how we manage waste, to ensuring that we have good air quality, reducing water consumption, looking at biodiversity schemes. So it's very much a sort of broad portfolio for people that come into our industry who are interested in environment.
And it sounds, from what you've said there, that actually there's jobs that could encompass a lot of very different skills.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I mean, as well as having a good, you know, needing to have a good understanding of environmental issues, there's a lot of influencing within the business, collaborative working with our partners and stakeholders outside of the immediate company.
Now, we're kind of led to believe that green jobs are going to be part of the post-COVID recovery. How do you feel that this field is going? Is it something that's on an upward trajectory?
Yeah, absolutely. So the environment is an increasingly important part of the way we do business. I mean, you know, we are very much committed to making sure that we take the opportunity to build back greener as we go forward. And I think, you know, there's also that recognition that as an industry, and climate change is affecting us right now and will only continue to do so more in the future. So it's a field that we've really got to put a lot of effort and energy into.
So if somebody was interested to find out more about the kind of opportunities that GTR might have in this area, where would they take a look?
Well, we have a careers page for when vacancies crop up in this area. And obviously our recruitment team always very happy to answer queries, and they'll put them through to the right people that can perhaps offer avenues for pursuing a career in that field, either with us or the wider industry. I mean, we work very closely with our partners at Network Rail, and they're also very committed in this area.
Patrick Clements, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to find out more about Green Skills Week, then go to greenskillsweek.org. Now, there's a lot of awful things that have happened over the last year, but one of the rather lovely things is the rise in enthusiasm for litter picking. Last week, Lucy Bridgewater explained how she thinks that getting out for a quick litter pick at lunchtime when we're working from home can do wonders for our mental and physical well-being, as well as, of course, reducing plastic pollution. And you can listen to my conversation with Lucy now if you head over to the podcast page of radioverulam.com. This week, Stefania Vinci, admin for St. Albans Litter Picking Volunteers Facebook group, wants to encourage us all to join in Clean Up St. Albans weekend on the 11th and 12th of April. I started by asking Stefania where the idea had come from for Clean Up St. Albans weekend.
So last summer, I co-founded St. Albans Litter Picking Community Volunteers as I wanted to create a group of like-minded people to keep St. Albans and surrounding area clean from litter. A few weeks ago, I was in a group chat and, somehow we decided to do it together and to call it Clean St. Albans Day.
Obviously, you want us to all get out and litter pick, make the place look lovely. But is your idea that it's more of a sort of an organised thing? We try and get out with, I think by then we'll be able to get out with six people. Or is this just something you just want us to get out by ourselves or, you know, with our household? What did you have in mind?
Unfortunately, organising groups is really hard. And I've noticed actually people enjoy it. They just go out by themselves with their friends or with their little ones. And so I thought maybe if we just do it like, okay, we put the idea out, but then everybody can do it in their own time. It has to be either the 10th or the 11th of April and just dedicate half an hour, a few hours. It depends, by how much you want to do, you want to put.
Right. Okay. So you just want us all, as you say, just all to get out. Doesn't even need to be that for that long, does it? But if everybody joined in, you're right, it could have quite an impact, couldn't it? So as you've said, you look after the St. Albans Litter Picking Volunteers Facebook group. Do you find that the support for the group has sort of grown over the year or stayed the same? Or what's your sort of feeling about the appetite for litter picking around St. Albans?
The support has increased. I still receive almost on a daily basis new requests from people to join the group, which is absolutely fantastic. It has increased. Yes, I would say so. Lots of people put lovely pictures of the litter pick that they did on the day by themselves or with family, with friends, with their own children. So yes, it is increasing because I think people have more time now to dedicate to litter pick and to spend with their own children.
And what do you particularly, you yourself, get out of litter picking? What motivates you to do it?
It is for me a form of meditation almost, but also is my way of expressing love for the environment and respect for myself and for the others, because everybody likes to live in pretty clean places and rubbish doesn't make any place look pretty.
So if we do go out and litter pick on the 10th, 11th of April, do you want us to, like you were saying people are doing, do you want us to share our photos, share what we've done? And if so, where should we share them? And is there a hashtag or something like that we should use?
Absolutely. It would be absolutely fantastic. I really hope I will get inundated of photos. Anybody that wants to register with St. Albans Litter Picking Community Volunteers could do so. And then once they are members, they can see what's going on.
So you want people to join up with the group, and there you'll be able to give them a little bit of guidance if they need some inspiration as to exactly where to go litter picking, and also they'll get the support and the satisfaction of being part of something bigger. Stefania, sounds fantastic. Let's hope that the sun smiles on the weekend so that we can really clean up St. Albans. Thank you very much indeed for telling us all about that.
I was talking there to Stefania Vinci, admin for St. Albans Litter Picking Volunteers Facebook group. And if you'd like to join in with cleaning up St. Albans on the 11th and 12th of April, then do remember that Veolia and St. Albans District Council say that they can supply litter pickers, bags and gloves to individuals or local litter pick action groups across the district. They can also arrange collection of the bags from an agreed location. And if you'd like to take advantage of this, then you can contact Veolia on Waste Management Services, all one word, at stalbans.gov.uk. And I'll make sure that that email address and the rest of the information from today's show goes into the notes accompanying the podcast of this show, which you'll find on the podcast page of radioverulam.com. And as Stefania said, litter picking is a surprisingly lovely way to spend some time with children or with family or with friends. Everyone can join in. Do make sure that you follow government guidelines on group size and social distancing. And I think it's a good idea to wear gloves when you're litter picking. So have you started up litter picking during lockdown, or have you found it as rewarding as our guests have? Will you perhaps continue to litter pick even once you can get back down the pub? Do share your thoughts. We would love to hear them. Now, you'll find Environment Matters on Twitter at @RV_environment. Or you can head over to the Environment Matters Facebook page where you can leave a message, or you can drop me a line on amanda@radioverulam.com. Now, if you've been out and about litter picking or otherwise over the last week, you'll have noticed the absolutely wonderful birdsong around the district. And if, like me, you can never seem to quite see where that bird is that's making that fabulous noise and would just like to know how to recognise those beautiful songs, then there's still time to sign up for the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust online event, Birdsong for Beginners. It's on the 1st of April, and Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust invite us to learn to identify some of the birds singing in the dawn chorus. They will be looking at 10 of the most popular birds found in our gardens and locally, and listening to their song and finding out more about how to identify them. And if that interests you, then you can book your place on the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. And if you are making the most of the sunny weather out in the garden, then do leave those hedge trimmers in the shed. Nest building is well underway for local birds, and they are so easily disturbed. So resist the temptation to cut back hedges, shrubs and trees just now. Instead, why not find an area that you can sow with some pollinator-friendly flowers that both you and the bees will be able to enjoy later on in the year. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for joining me.